Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Thursday, October 6th. Today, Colorado's election season is underway, and two of the biggest donors to this year's campaigns may or may not surprise you. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually this Thursday, October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. For entrepreneurs in the early 19th century West, the fur trade offered greater profits and more bitter competition than any other. On this day in 1838, the trading outpost Fort Jackson met its end when its largest competitor bought it out, removed its goods, and closed it down. The American Fur Company was founded in 1808 by John Jacob Astor and proved to be one of the most successful fur enterprises. By the 1830s, it boasted a large trading post called Fort Laramie on the North Platte River in present-day Wyoming. Trade in beaver and bison pelts took place further south in Colorado, dominated by Bent, St. Vrain, and Company. To attempt to control more territory in Colorado, the American Fur Company strategically established a small outpost named Fort Jackson after the recently retired President Andrew Jackson. Fort Jackson and St. Vrain offered each other a greater challenge than the smaller posts, since both possessed greater capital and access to quality goods. Merchants based at Fort Jackson sought out American Indian camps on the High Plains, hoping to do business with them before Bent, St. Vrain and Company outposts. Eager to protect his firm, William Bent purchased Fort Jackson from the American Fur Company. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and the Center for American Politics invite you to a live debate at the University of Denver. Come hear from candidates vying for the state treasurer seat and the secretary of state seat. Visit coloradosun.com/events for in-person and virtual options. Space is limited, registration is required. Next, our feature story. Colorado Governor Jared Polis is now the top donor in this year's election season, recently pulling ahead of rival Steve Wells, a Weld County rancher who donated $11 million to Deep Colorado Wells, his super PAC, opposing Polis. Wells isn't even running for office, but Polis is up for re-election. Polis has donated $11.1 million to his own campaign. The Colorado Sun has been following the money, and here today is business reporter Tamara Chung interviewing politics reporter Sandra Fish, who tells us more about why our mailboxes are getting stuffed with political postcards.
Hi, I'm Tamara Chung with the Colorado Sun, subbing in for our regular podcast moderator, Carol, who should be back soon. And I'm here with Sandra Fish, who covers campaign finance for the Colorado Sun.
Hey, Tam, thanks for having me.
Obviously, the election is coming up, and in some races, it's quite active. You know, what are you seeing as like the top campaign financial contributions and from top donors?
Well, it's pretty interesting. You know, 4 years ago during the governor's race, Jared Polis became probably one of the top campaign donors of all time by putting more than $23 million into his campaign to win that both a four-way primary and the general election. This year, he's put $11.1 million into his campaign, which is less than half that. But he has another big competitor who is not running for office here. And we've written about him, Steve Wells. He's a rancher out in Weld County, but he made a lot of money through oil and gas leases. He's pretty conservative, and he really dislikes Jared Polis. And he's put $11 million into a super PAC that is airing ads, anti-Polis ads. He's even running ads now opposing a Democratic Attorney General, Phil Weiser. And he's got plenty of money left to spend right now. But Polis is all over TV too. You know, one of the things about this money is that this is how candidates and super PACs like the one Steve Wells runs get messages out to voters in an effort to sway us one way or another.
So the top two donors for this year's elections and campaigns, one of them happens to be the governor?
Yes. And, you know, his opponent, Heidi Ganahl, a University of Colorado regent elected statewide 6 years ago, she's actually put more than $850,000 into her campaign, either through loans or just directly. But she can't match Jared Polis's money. He had no primary opposition. He has been on TV with TV ads since early September, and she will be on TV, I believe, soon, probably next week. But her campaign has struggled to raise money, and she's just not putting as much of her own money into it as Jared Polis is. You know, Steve Wells is trying to help her out, and his ads that criticize Jared Polis, he always says, vote Republican, vote for Heidi Ganahl. But it's questionable whether that's enough to help her out.
Well, it does sound like a lot of money because you've got $11 million for one side, $11 million for the other. And you know, of course, that's only two people. Is that going to be the bulk of how much is raised?
There's a lot of other money at the statewide level. And we're not even getting into the federal thing. There was a filing date this week for statewide candidates. There are a wide variety of super PACs, not just Steve Wells's. The Democratic Governors Association recently put more money into its super PAC, which is called Strong Colorado for All. Wells started airing his ads in September. Strong Colorado for All started airing ads criticizing Heidi Ganahl. There are a lot of other national outside groups that are also spending big here. You know, their focus is really on taking control of the state Senate from Democrats. That Democrats now have a 21-14 edge, but Republicans are hoping to pick up enough seats to take control back there. And I would say this spending all trickles down. I mean, there are some super PACs at the state level. Several million dollars can make a difference in a state Senate contest. And people are seeing those state Senate ads on Hulu. They're seeing them on their cable TV, which is both of those are very targeted at specific Senate districts and maybe even with Hulu, specific kinds of voters. So, and then there are the mailers too. These groups, you know, love to send things that you're going to hopefully put in the recycling. You could always take a picture and text it to me if you want. I'm interested in seeing them. And these groups do the kind of the dirty work that candidates don't want to be associated with. They're going to attack, you know, the opposing candidate of the one they support in these mailers and TV ads. And that stuff costs money. But there are national, like I said, there are national outside groups like GOPAC, which is a national Republican group that's put in several million dollars. But then there are Democratic groups that have also, and unions, and that are helping fund Democratic campaigns. So, you know, there's a lot of money out there, Tam.
Yeah, I mean, is money everything when it comes to these campaigns?
It is not always, but it's really helpful. And in some instances, like when you're a candidate like Heidi Ganahl running for governor, or John Kellner running for attorney general, or you know, some of the other Republican candidates running statewide, you can't knock on every door. You can't attend every chicken dinner. And the way to get your message out is through TV or through mailers or through texting and digital advertising. And the four statewide Republican candidates just have not raised enough money to do that yet. And you know, they're at a disadvantage. You know, the Republican Governors or the Republican Attorneys General Association has sent three mailers out, either supporting John Kellner in the attorney general's race or attacking Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser. But, you know, that's like $300,000. Phil Weiser has raised more than $4 million, and he's all over TV right now, too. So money is important. It doesn't always, the biggest spender doesn't always win. But if you don't spend much and your opponent spends a lot, people are probably going to be more familiar with your opponent who spends the most.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be true in my household, because I know we're starting to get a lot of those postcards. And you know, one for me, one for my spouse, and one for the household for the same person. So, you know, you mentioned mailers, you mentioned TV ads. Can you give us a sense of, you know, this is sort of an off year, right? It's not a presidential year.
It's not a presidential year, but Tam, I hate to disappoint you because, you know, you are going to get your ballot in the mail in less than 2 weeks, probably. But as those ballots go out, this flurry of spending aimed at Colorado voters is only going to increase during the rest of October, heading toward Election Day on November 8th. I mean, I've talked to some people today that, you know, you're going to see more money out there. It's just a matter of when it drops and when there are even more mailers and even more TV ads, even more digital ads. So it's going to get worse before we get Chia Pet ads on November 9th during the evening news.
Wow. Well, hopefully, you know, folks will keep reading Colorado Sun because I think you're going to continue covering the messaging and the financing and how much these candidates and propositions and stuff are collecting. So, Sandra, thank you so much for joining us today on the Sun. And please, everyone, check out our coverage. We have started the political season, and I believe next week we'll be launching our new politics hub or the election hub.
I hope so.
Well, thanks again, Sandra.
Talk to you later, Tam. Thanks.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The Sand Creek Massacre National Historic Site is expanding by nearly 3,500 acres, Interior Secretary Deb Haaland announced Wednesday. The site, in what is now southeastern Colorado, is dedicated to the 230 Native Americans who were ambushed and massacred by U.S. troops in 1864. Haaland is the first Native American to lead a cabinet agency, and the expansion is her latest step to bring action to issues important to Native Americans in her role as Interior Secretary. Well over half of the 230 killed were women and children. Sand Creek was established as a historic site in 2007. The transition from fossil fuel-generated electricity to renewables is proving tricky for Colorado's largest utility. Xcel Energy is moving to close a gap in electricity supplies that for the moment leaves the region short on electric generation and reserves for the summers of 2023 and 2024. In filings to the Colorado Public Utilities Commission, the company said it is facing resource adequacy challenges. The key to meeting next peak electricity demands are two large solar projects in Pueblo County that will miss their end-of-year deadlines, but which the utility hopes will be online by the end of next summer. Vail Resorts isn't budging, and neither is the Vail Town Council. Now, it looks like the Eagle County District Court will settle the disagreement over the best use for a parcel of land in East Vail. Vail Resorts this week rejected the town's offer to buy the company's land for $12 million. Vail Resorts wants to build housing for 165 workers on 5.5 acres of the 23-acre parcel, and a previous town council approved that plan. However, a new group of councilors wants to permanently protect the land as bighorn sheep winter habitat. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.